Every penny of that will go to the needs directly. It's just a special privilege, and I thank you. You know, we have to remember to thank God for everything, and before it happens, you know, before it happens. There's so many people wait to thank God until they've got it. Well, He wants faith from us, you know. He says in Genesis and Romans 4, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Believe God before it happens. Thank Him before it happens, and it will happen, you know. It's that obvious. And there were four of us today. We had a similar vision about a tree this morning. And I just showed this to Linda before I started speaking. And I hadn't switched this flipping thing off, this pest, and his tweet came through. And it's from Sierra Leone, and there's a tree under it. It says Happy Palm Sunday. Yeah. And has somebody got a Bible open? Anybody? Turn to Psalms. Psalm 1, 1 to 3, please. It's confirmation. Psalm 1, 1 to 3. Anybody? You should bring your Bibles to church with you. You know, don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bring it with you. Take it with you. Take it to bed with you. Go on, somebody. Psalm 1, 1 to 3. Praise the Lord. He shall be like a tree. You know, if we're like a tree planted close to Jesus, we get the grace because Jesus is grace. We get those living waters, and there's nothing we can't do because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And, you know, this is a word for the church this morning. There's somebody here, it may be more of you, that you're going through problems and you think God doesn't care. He hasn't moved. He hasn't moved. You know, He's still there. He's like that immovable tree. And one sign of God's covenant, I'm reading it. I can't remember where it was, but I got this image of God's covering over Israel, and it was two palm trees like this. It's God's covering. God's covering. He made trees, and the symbolic, the meaning, the life, and it's a message for us. It reminded me of a long time ago, when I was about five and a half, and I went to a Catholic school, and I didn't grow till I was 11. I was tiny, and I couldn't or wouldn't repeat my catechism. I couldn't learn it. I just learned the two first. Who made you? God made you. Why did He make you? God made me to know Him, love Him, and serve Him in this world and be happy with Him forever in the next. To know Him, to know Him, to know Him. That's what it's all about, knowing God. You know, many people think that they teach this, that the most important thing about becoming a Christian is to have your sins forgiven and your assurity of eternal life. Well, yeah, that's important. But the most important thing of all is to have that fellowship with God. That's why He sent Jesus, not just forgive us our sins, because if you go back to Genesis, God loved walking in the garden in the still of the day with Adam and Eve, yeah? And when they listened to the devil, it broke that, so He had to send Jesus. Could you turn to Isaiah 43, please? Isaiah 43, verse 25, and shout it out loud because I'm a bit deaf. Isaiah 43, 25. Whilst we're waiting for that, can we have the lights off, please? Because it'll show the photos better. It'd be better if I had my remote clicker in my hand, wouldn't it?
I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake.
Say that again, please, loud. For whose sake?
For my own sake.
For my own sake. This is God speaking through the prophet.
And I will not remember your
hallelujah, you know, for my own sake. People think that he did it for us because he felt sorry for us. But God really wanted fellowship with his people again. That's why he created man, to have fellowship, to know him, love him, and serve him. You know, we never forget that. This is the God of all creation who created us to know him, love him, and serve him. And for his own sake, he sent Jesus, for his own sake. Praise God. You know, that's so important. To many of us walk around listening to the devil today, even Christians, believing that we're failures. And that happened to me when I was 6 years old, or 5.5 years old. And I was learning to read and write. And I could read when I was 4, but I wasn't a very good reader, writer. And the teacher was teaching us how to write our address, right? And she said, write down your address, and you're to put the street name, the town name, and the county. And our county, of course, was Lancashire. And me, he said, you write blanks. And I thought, she said blanks, B. So I wrote down blanks, right? And she came round, and she looked at my paper. All the other clever dickies, they'd done it correctly. But I'd put blank, so I lived in Blankishire. And she took my paper, and she went like that. She said, that's rubbish, that. Threw it away. You know, I was aching. I was in tears. I wanted a clean piece of paper. I wanted to start again. And you know, from that time, I turned my back on Catholicism and religion in general, but in particular Christianity. I thought, this is Christianity. I don't want, even as 6 years old, you know, and the world can do that to you. But we serve a Savior who says, I don't care what you've done. I died for you. Yeah, a clean sheet. Start again. Start again. Have a clean sheet. We serve a God of second, third, and fourth, and fifth, and sixth chances. Right? It doesn't matter what we've done. Look at the two thieves on the cross. At the very end of life, they had the choice. And one chose life, and one chose death. You know, but it's a choice for us. And that's that symbolism of that tree this morning. Those repeated messages of tree, of life, of God's covering, and his love for us. You know, and he sent Jesus so that he could have fellowship with us. Praise God. You know, isn't that good? I'm excited. You know, International Aid Trust began in 1991 when I became a Christian. I went, how many years is 6 to 42? I became an atheist until I was 42 years old, and that was, I'm 69 now, yeah, but I still feel 28 in my head, and I think my wife thinks I'm 12 sometimes, but that doesn't matter. Praise the Lord. But you know, if we have faith as small as the mustard things, we can move. Duncan started off in Kenya. Praise God for that. Support him, because he has a vision in his heart to go out and help the needy. And with your prayers and support, and because he believes by faith that God's led him into this, he's going to see a harvest, you know. He says in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, first the seed, then the stem, then the full grain will appear. And it's the tree thing again, you know. And if you have faith to plant seeds, there will be a harvest. No question. There's some farmers amongst you. You plant potatoes, you get potatoes. You plant apple seeds, you get apples. And there's a physical law and a spiritual law. There's a natural law and a spiritual law. And you plant natural seeds, you'll get natural fruit. You plant the Word of God, spiritual seeds, there will be a harvest like you've never seen before. Hallelujah. You know, it's that simple. The gospel is not complicated. You know, we've got to share. Testimony strengthens and encourages faith. We encourage one another. And with Duncan, he told me he wants books, and I forgot to mention because my head's somewhere else, but we get loads of books in. We get loads of stuff, and if there's anything you need out there, Duncan, just...
Bigger suitcases.
How many?
Bigger.
Well, we can get you as many suitcases as you want, but you know, each case is now 23 kilos. Listen, I'm not going to get to any slide this morning. Listen, this is how we started out. 27 years ago, nearly, right? And naive. Ah. And I used to be hunting, shooting, and fishing. I'd waistcoat with 15, 18 pockets in. And we were told people needed protein. So I thought, well, cheese will be all right. And they needed the Word of God. So we sponsored, got thousands of Bibles printed in China, communist country, 50p each, shipped them back here. And then we got them sponsored for £1 so we could have every Bible, every New Testament and Psalms we got sponsored, we could buy two, and we shipped thousands out. And some of the very first words I learned in Russian were this. Dobry den, good day. Это Библия, it's a Bible. Это подарок, it's a gift. If it's mitzvah shelter, take it, please. You know, right, I'm wondering. There were 60 odd of us on that first trip, and we're in London. We travelled down to London with massive suitcases, and our hand luggage weighed about 20 kilos, and these waistcoats were full of all these pockets with Bibles and slabs of cheese and vitamins and all sorts in, and the authorities at Heathrow, they looked at us, and then we brought somebody else back with more gold braid on the cap, and he brought somebody else back, and they said, we're going to weigh all this luggage. You're far too much, you know. This was before we even got near the scales. And there were some weird ladies amongst us then, Sheilas, Women of Galore, that was it. And that's the terminology that an Australian pastor told me. They should have been called that, Flaming Sheilas, but anyway. And and they got together in a huddle, and I'd been a Christian about 3.5 days, you know, well, 6 weeks, but anyway. And come on, we'll pray for the scales to break down. I thought, I'm in with a load of loonies here. And they prayed. They prayed that the scales would break down, you know. I'm thinking, what time's the next train back to Lancashire, you know? The scales broke down. And they came up to us, and it was like half an hour before the gates closed. And this supervisor said, what are you going to do with all this stuff, all this cheese? And we're going to give it away. Let them through, you know. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Not yet seen. Hallelujah. Yeah? Not yet seen. When God says it, it already exists. It already exists. He spoke and it was. You know? Hallelujah. You know, I love preaching the gospel, and I could tell you so much about, I could write a book just about how God's blessed us with Bibles that have gone out there, and it's just incredible. Faith. In 1993, I'd been a believer 2 years, and we planted a children's center for poor children. It was linked with the Chernobyl thing at that time, but we were doing it in their own country, and we were giving them holidays, right? But this center that we renovated, it had 68 rooms, called Mayaki, means lighthouse in Russian, or beacon. But we can only use it for the summer months. This is faith, friends. And we decided that we'd like to use it in the winter months as a Bible college, right? So we did, right? And so we brought poor students down from all over the former Soviet Union. And it ran for 3 months of the winter. Now, after 10 years, what do you think were some of the fruits of planting those seeds in those young people's spirits and hearts? Well, after 10 years, we'd between 155 and 160 churches planted. This was in 2004, and there was 15 bishops had been ordained over this ministry. Just because of that, you know, when you reach out, you're and plant, when you speak what God's given you, That should be so close to us. It's good to have it on our phones. It's good. I use it, my iPad a lot, but there's nothing like the Word of God in its original, well, not in its original form. You can't carry a load of papyrus and stone tablets around with you, but you know what I mean. You know. And we have the greatest privilege on God's earth. We can get up every morning and read the Word of God. Some of the countries we work in, they don't have that privilege. When we first started working in Russia, right, the consequences of being caught with just one page out of the Bible was equal to that of being caught with heroin or cocaine. You were sent to prison. And honestly, that's for another day, but praise God, praise God. And from that time, we've one of our biggest aims is planting churches, right? In Africa, in India, we started there 9 years ago with Bishop Kota, and he was a pastor then with four churches. We've now got, Mark, 78 churches. 78 churches amongst the poorest, right? Somebody read Zechariah 9, verse 9. Zechariah 9, verse 9, please. Zechariah 9, verse 9. It's all right. Mark's told me I've got 2 hours. Okay. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Zechariah, he ministered with Haggai and Malachi, like they say, 500 years before Jesus began his ministry. And 500 years before Jesus began his ministry and came into Jerusalem on a donkey, he was prophesying about it. There's hundreds of prophecies that have been fulfilled, that have been fulfilled, that will be fulfilled. And you know, we've everything in here. We've everything in here. One of my favourite prophets, well, my favourite prophet is Isaiah, but we'll just come to that later. Could I see, this is history, this. That was the first trip we ever did. And that guy, Ed Uddleston, is still with us. This was in 1993, and we were on the ferry. We were just crossing the ferry from Felixstowe to Rotterdam, and that's Jeff Erskew, and that's Ivor Eaton, and I'm sure he'll have spoke here in the past. He was a big friend of John Barton's at one time. Ivor passed away 18 months ago, and that was the beginning, that, just going out with a vision. Today, we've ministered in about 50 different nations, with churches all over the world, and salvations, and it's because of that seed planted. God honors it. You know, at that time, I thought to be a Christian, you'd have to have a beard, because everybody I met had a beard. These are some of the sites that we saw on that first trip. Right, this was in Belarus, an 18-year-old. Left to stagnate in a cot. I'm not doing very well with this flicker. It's seized up on me. Could you forward it, please, Matt? Kids living down the sewer. Next one, please. These are children just abandoned, and a big part of our early ministry were these abandoned street children. Next one, please. Yeah. And I didn't know what to do. I saw these images, and I went out there with a dream, I was going to evangelize the world and start with Eastern Europe. And then I came down to earth with a bang when I saw these needs and some of the older people's needs. And then God showed me this. I'd never opened the Bible till I was 42 years old, and God gave me this from Luke 4. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Isaiah prophesied 740, 750 years before Jesus came to earth. And what Jesus was saying then was, when he read out that scroll, this was the first recorded time that Jesus taught and spoke in the synagogue. You won't find one sooner than this. And he was saying, "I'm the one that Isaiah was speaking about. I am the Messiah, yeah? I'm the one he spoke about 740 years ago." But not only that, he's saying, "And this is what I'm going to do." You see, this scripture is so important. And when we look at Jesus' example, he always turned to scripture. He always answered with scripture. He always answered with scripture. When he was tempted by the devil said, "It is written, scripture says," like the Pharisees did. And Jesus always replied and said, "It is also written. It also says," you know, be ready. We have to know when to answer, you know, what to answer with. It's all there in the book of life. And Jesus was saying there, "I'm going to heal the brokenhearted. I'm going to set the captives free. I'm going to help the blind see and the lame walk. And I'm going to preach the gospel." And then I thought, wow, if that was good enough for Jesus, that's what I want to do. And that scripture there has been our standpoint for, oh, next one, please. Yeah. You've already read that. You know, that's one of my favorite scriptures. Next one, please. This is our warehouse, right? Last year, we sent almost 5 million tons of aid across the world. And it cost us in transport. It didn't cost us because we get it sponsored. About £80,000 was spent on transport, 80,000 compared to 5 million. It's an awful lot. But every load goes out with it, the word of God. Next one, please. And these are three prisoners helping to load a load. Next one, please. Now, do you know Peter and Sheila Booth, anybody? Anybody? They have a opticians at Longton, right? Well, the second half of last year, they're members at Inglewhite that I've been with for about 16 years speaking there. But they had a vision to be able to help the poor. Next one, please. And the first one, you saw them with boxes full of used spectacles that come into our warehouse. And they bought new lenses from China for next to nothing. And they're there in Ukraine, last July it was. They went to two locations in the poor areas, poor villages. Next one, please. See, over 800 people were given the sight back because of the obedience of these two people who retired from the business in Longton. I think it's Longton, is it? Yeah, it's all the same to me. Yeah. I get lost going out to Withnell. But you see, 800 people, they could have retired. They could have sat down and enjoyed life. But, you know, they're not spring chickens, but they went out with some of our volunteers and they gave sight back to over 800 people. Next one, please. Look at that. And each one is given a Bible. And to test that their eyes were working correctly, they had to read from the Bible. Praise the Lord, you know. And next one. This is Mexico. Next one. We've sent 11 containers to Mexico. This is Nigeria. We work with a church in Arlington near Washington, D.C. with this one. Next one, please. This was an hospital serving 5 million people in northwest Nigeria, been ruined by the problems there, overrun with vegetation and cobras and everything. Next one, please. That was the roof. Next one. This is equipment donated by the NHS that has been thrown out. We're sending it all over the world to save lives. But with it goes the Word of God. Next one. All this was donated. Next one. That's a maternity ward. Next one. And this is a delegation of the local government. And they couldn't understand how people from thousands of miles away and two Christian countries, America and the UK, could do this for their people. Next one. Next one. Next one. This is Tanzania. This is giving people... We worked here with an Anglican bishop who turned his church in Tanzania, half of his church, into an hospital. Next one. And this is Odessa, Ukraine, and that's Elaine. This is premature baby unit. Next one. Philippines. Next one. Israel. Next one. Albania. Next one. And this is our distribution center in Ukraine. This is a Christian village. And if any of you ever fancy a trip to any of these places, just please, the fields are white unto harvest, but the workers are few. Therefore, I pray the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. That's what we need. That's our distribution center. Next one. That's the very second church I ever spoke at. I spoke at that church when it was a cellar and I was preaching by candle. Next one. This is a retirement home. We have 20 elderly people in here. The oldest is 93. And we've had a lot of trouble with him because he's a man and there's 19 ladies and he wanted to get married again. It's a problem. Yeah. Next one. And anybody know this guy?
John, yeah.
Yeah? Who said that? Yeah. Well, that's John Illingworth. He's a good friend of ours and he's a prison... big boss, yeah, prison governor. He also has pastored churches, and he's there in the old people's centres. Yeah, there's opportunities for people to go out, and it's that wide and varied now that, you know, you can have as much or as little of this ministry as you want. Next one, please. That's Children's Home. That's House of Joy Children's Home. Next one. These are some of the rescued children. Next one. Feral children rescued. Look, I've been doing this now with the children 20 years, and every time I go back, I see young adults who come up to me and thank me, and you see that fruit before your very eyes. And I go back to planting seeds. Just do it. Just do it. Next one. That's New Hope Rescue Children's Home. It took us 8 years to complete this. So much opposition. But, you know, go for it. Go for it. If there's something in the way, knock it down. Go around it. Go underneath it. If God's told you to do it, do it. Next one. This is a bridal boutique. Next one. And these are children who were told that they'd never be any good for anything because the parents were alcoholics. The mother was a prostitute. The father was a bank robber. It's genetic. It's rubbish. These are God's creation. Every one of them, you know. You know, there was I'm sorry, Mark, I'm getting nowhere near India. I prepared a good slice on India for you. Yeah. There was an old man in hospital, and he'd been, he was old and haggard. He didn't look after himself, and his overgrown beard and the ambulance worker picked him up and said, "What on earth can we do with a wretched being like this?" And he wasn't unconscious. And he opened his eyes and said, "Call no man wretched who's been created by God the Father." Everyone deserves a second chance. Next one, please. Yeah, children would have been thrown away, but next one, please. This is Passion Era. You know, we have faithful people who've been with us. Passion Era has been with us 26 years, you know. Ed's been with us 26 years. That's another message, that's another. Commit these things to faithful men. When it says men, it means men and women. In in the Greek, men means male and female, you know, so don't forget that. Read it, look it up. Brilliant. He's our director over all Ukraine, and his wife looks after the families and all of the children. Next one, please. Now, that's the scripture I've already told you about, Mark 4:28. Next one. See, this is fruit. I'm driving through Odessa one day, and everywhere you go, and I've got the window down on the minibus, and somebody shouts, "Pastor, Pastor," and I stop, and it's this guy's wife on the right there. I'll tell you briefly that he wanted a wife, right? And he was the most miserable soul, so he always looked like he'd sucked two lemons, and he was a martial arts expert, that's Vasily, right? And he was my driver for a few years. And one day, he was looking worse than ever. I said, "Vasily, what's wrong with you?" "Oh, I need prayers, Pastor, I need prayer." I said, "Stop the car, I'm not driving with you looking like that. You're supposed to be happy, you're spending eternity with the Father." He said, "I need a wife." I said, "Well," I said, "that would be a miracle, because if you look like that, nobody's going to want you." I said, so I prayed with him, and 3 months later, I went back, and he introduced me to this lovely young blonde, about 20 years younger than him, and she could speak fluent English, and she was, she was an expert on guitar, right? She had a vision to start a music school, and they were engaged. I couldn't believe it. And anyway, a part of their ministry, they started working in an orphanage, and he was teaching martial arts, and he went off that and started teaching Jesus. And today, they've got 2 children, and they've got a house, and all these were prayed for of their own. And they flagged me down, and they said to me, "These 2 lads here, they're part of your fruit. You know, when you get to heaven, the seeds you've planted, they'll all be there, all be there. And the New Jerusalem will be full of the harvest from seeds planted by Christians." And it all came about because of 12 faithful men. You know? The world thinks it's done wonderful things. You've got Putin trying to change the world. You've got China trying to change the world. You've got Stalin trying to change the world. Hitler tried to change. And they did for a short while. But we serve a Messiah who changed this world forever. Forever. Next one, please. Cuba. Just go through these quickly. This place is where we minister. We were the first organization to send a container of aid to the Cuban churches 5 years ago, and now the gates are wide open. Next one. Yeah. This. The last one was the leader of all the Protestant churches in Cuba. And is, just go back to that last slide, please. That guy on the right, he was one of Castro's atheists, right? And he was a top surgeon, a top general surgeon. And you couldn't tell him anything about God. He was like me, he was an evangelical atheist. And he'd done this operation on someone, and he took away the thyroid gland, because it was cancerous. He took the cancer out, right? And I took this photo last year, just a year ago. And then a month later, he came back for a checkup, this patient, and the thyroid had regrown. He said he'd grown a new organ, there was no cancer present. And he dropped on his knees and gave his life to Jesus Christ. And now he's a supporter of this leading Pastor Marcel, and you know, he says, "I've met the risen Christ." He showed all my handiwork, all my surgical skills were nothing compared with the skill of the great physician. Praise the Lord. Next one. You're going through, Cuba's been underground churches for so long. We're going through Havana at night after visiting 3 or 4 churches, and said, "We want more church left." And we stopped in the middle of this industrial place, in the middle of, and I said, "What's this?" He said, "Okay." And we got out of the minibus, and knock, 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 on this door. And it opened up, and this young worship leader met us, like one of your people today, and led us up 3 flights of stairs. And on that 3rd flight, they turned this warehouse into this most wonderful church, and about 250 people praising God. Next one, please. You see, and the church in Cuba is on fire. Even the Methodist churches, not the Free Methodists, the Methodist churches are on fire. There's one Methodist pastor over there. He said, "Our Methodist churches aren't like yours," he said. I said, "How many churches, you've been going 40 years, Pastor, how many churches have you planted?" He said, "About 1,000. You know, persecution and poverty, it's really poor. But you know, God that scripture from Zechariah 9:9, he came lowly riding on a donkey. He took the highest place to the lowest, and he ministered to the lowest, for the lowest, and raise them up to the highest. And it doesn't matter how much you've got on this earth. It's nothing. It's nothing. You know, it's like, you know, you saw Billy Graham's funeral, right, a couple of weeks ago, and he left a few million dollars. And he probably got all the material things he ever needed, but he sent on far more treasure before, and this treasure was in heaven. Behind that earth, there were a few limousines, but there was no removal van, was there? You can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. Send it ahead. It doesn't matter how much you've got. Next one, please. This young girl, she was in a, we don't stay in hotels much, right? And she was serving breakfast in this hotel, and she looked so down. And one of the two Ukrainian pastors I was with said to her, "Why are you looking so unhappy?" And she said, "My son's poorly, and I've no food. I have no food and medicines for him." And we prayed for her. And the morning after, this is the morning after, she said, "This Jesus, praying to this Jesus works. I've had a message that this medicine's coming through. And it's being sent from Florida, which is only 90 miles away, right?" And I explained to her that Jesus cares even for the smallest things. And in front of 600 guests, I led her to the Lord. And she's there, just accepted Jesus in front of all these witnesses. All these witnesses. Listen, when Jesus rose again, the world tried to prove it lie and mythology. But there were 500 witnesses. And in Luke's gospel, he starts off by saying, "Insomuch as I have witnessed all these things, I thought it a good idea to write it down." That's Luke. A good idea. Yeah, it's a good idea. I'm glad he did it. Praise God. And now it's 5:12, so I'll have to finish. Listen, I've only gone through a tenth of this, and you've supported us last year. I'm not asking for any more support, but I'll willingly come along and share with you, or just preach or do anything. I'm so blessed because we have roots in this fellowship, and I thank you for that. We've so much to share. It would blow you away. If you think this is good, wait till you see what God's doing around the world. Father, we thank you for just allowing us this time in your word. We thank you, Father, that you've done so much and you're ready to do so much more. Father, we open our hearts to you this morning. We come to you with our cares and our problems, our issues, Father, and they seem insurmountable. But Father, that's the enemy speaking. The devil reminds us of our past, but you are a God of the future. And Father, all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we know have the right to be called children of God. We put all these cares into your hands this day. In the precious name of Jesus, Yeshua, Messiah. And if anyone needs prayer this morning, if anything spoke to you, just come forward and speak to Mark and Linda and myself. And we'll share with you what God has in store for your life. In Jesus' name, amen.